Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, women, ladies, good afternoon. It's the new season for the Polished Woman. Now we are going to audio, but we have Zoom today, so it's really good. And I have a very special guest. So today on the Polished Woman, it's a new dawn, it's a new day, a new season, and I believe that God has given us an opportunity to start something new, okay? And I know there is chaos and, you know, confusion in America today, actually, I think all over the world. I know there is so much hurt and pain, and I know there is a sadness and mourning, and my heart goes out to all people in America. A country that my family and I chose to come to start over, to start a new life, and to be a part of the American dream. And, you know, and slowly my American dream is coming true. It might look like, you know, it might look like it now with protests and riots and looting, but then when dust settles, you know, the American dream is still obtainable. And what I know for sure is that we have to be, you know, we have to be the change that we want to see, right? We have to be the peace and love this country is crying out for. So I'm thinking we have to give love more than ever. We can't just give up and get, you know, disrupted. And we have to stand firm, and in the grace of and the love of God, we have to stand firm. So today is a new start to do something new, a new season. Today is our season 3 and episode 1 of The Polished Woman. Okay, so 3 years ago today I was very scared to start something new. I was like talking to Max, right, Max? He was there for me. And when I started this, I was frightened and almost didn't come to the studio. I didn't want to do it, but I also know that I have a purpose. I have a calling. I am the voice of the voiceless and ear to those who need someone to talk to. And, you know, a hug to those that need someone to wrap their arms around me. You can hug me anytime. You know, I am a mother, a sister, an aunt, a friend. And in times of trouble, I want you to know that I am here for you. And when you think of giving up, remember me. In my life, if you, you know, I mean, I've talked about my life several times at the show, and I've given up so many times, but you know what? My faith and God is the one that really made me stand again and stand firm, even through the rough patches or the storm that, you know, comes my way, that came my way. So remember, God in his own hands upon my life, that I must be the woman. I thought of myself that I must be the woman that he created. So my guest today also had a start over, and I hope her story inspires you as much as it did me. I was like so inspired by her story when I talked to her yesterday. Oh my gosh, this is so good. And she's also a very polished woman. That's why she is on the show today. Okay, I want to introduce her. She's an amazing, amazing woman. I want you all to take a minute to please welcome my very special guest for today, Leti Alvarez of LA Suites. Oh my gosh, LA Suites. Leti, you've been all over. You've been on all the cooking shows and everything. So welcome to the Polished Woman third season and first episode.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you so much. And to your audience out there, I hope that my story can inspire someone, because I got a very late start in life in business. And I couldn't believe where I am right now, because, you know, when we're older yeah, professionals, we think that you have to start your business when you're young in order to make it. And so I'm proving that not to be the case. And I'm super excited to bring my story to your audience. And thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to bring my story to your amazing audience. And on such a special season, you know, season three, yes. New beginnings, new starts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Letty. Okay. I actually was, I wanted to text two of my good friends. They're starting their small businesses. And just like you, they started late, like after their kids are all grown up a little bit, you know, they're teenagers now. And they're like, what do I do with myself? Like, you know, do I continue being, just a housewife and just a mom? But, you know, us moms, we have dreams ourselves, right? I mean, we want to be something else. I think I mentioned this to you yesterday that, you know what? We all want to have a career. But then when we get into that career, we want to do our calling, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So you know, help me, you know, tell our listeners about your story. How did
Absolutely.
You start?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm what I call a self-made entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I started with nothing but a dream and a desire to create a business mm-hmm. that I could make money from, but also spend time with my children because I was always family first. And so like many moms, I got married and started my family a bit young. I was 20 and I had my last set of twins when I was 35. Okay. So I really didn't start my business until I was 37. And I loved being a mom, but I always felt like you did, that I had a deeper calling. You know, a calling to do more with my life than just to be a mom. And I was raised, you know, in a Hispanic community where you were taught as a little girl, you can be a mom or you can mm-hmm. be a businesswoman, but you can't be both. And so I loved being a mom, but I also had a dream to be a businesswoman. So I wanted to test that water and see if that was something that I could do and disprove. And so I started my journey as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time I was 37, we were a family of seven mm-hmm. and I had to convince my husband to give me our life savings of $5,000.
I know to start you told my me that. Business. Oh my gosh, $5,000. Hey, listen to this, women, ladies, $5,000, you can start a business. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Or even less. It just depends. So I had to convince my husband and I did, you know, I've been married for 30 years, close mm-hmm. to 30 years now. He's my greatest cheerleader, my greatest supporter. And he said, you know what, babe, I believe in you. Go for it. So here I am 37 years old with nothing but $5,000 to my pocket to start a business and a dream. And I spent my entire life just, you know, working on raising my kids. I didn't have a skill set, so I didn't go to college. I didn't have business skills. Yes. I just knew how to bake. I thought to myself, what can I do with my life? What have I done in the last 20 years that I'm really good at? Mm-hmm. And I was a great baker. I baked for all my kids' events, for their birthday parties, and I loved it. It was a passionate thing because I feel like there's something that unites us so much around the kitchen, the family, you know, when we're all around. Yeah. So that's how I started my bakery.
Oh, so it was you loved baking, because I was going to ask you why you chose, you know, cakes and baking. So you loved it already from the beginning.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I had to think, you know, what am I good at? Because you just can't start a business without knowing anything and not knowing a skill. Yeah. So the only skill I had since I was a domestic wife and mom mm-hmm. was to do a lot of cooking and baking. And I didn't really love cooking as much as I loved baking. So that's, you know, what I did. I started LA Sweets.
Okay.
And, you know, and here I am 13 years later with so many successes. I've been on so many different culinary shows.
Yes.
You know, it's just been an incredible journey. And I didn't think that was possible for me when I first started. When I first started, I just wanted to have a little bakery in the corner somewhere, make a little bit of money and enjoy my family. So it's been quite a ride.
Okay, let's do it, you know, let's do it slowly. So when you got, when you spent the $5,000, so remember, ladies, I spoke to her yesterday. She started this business on the year that it was so bad. It was in 2008, right?
Yes.
And when you, I think 2008, the social media was not as big.
No, it wasn't.
As it is right now. So how did you, I just want to know, like, you know, there's a lot of, especially for the people who, you know, there were looters that looting that happened the past few days. And then now they're like a cousin of mine just texted me today and she's like, she felt like, you know, her place was vandalized. She just opened last year and there's nothing left. And she's like, she felt like she was going to give up. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it's insured or something. How can we help? Like, how can she move from this, you know? And then the whole social media platform, the competition right now is so hard. Everyone wants to, you know, it's so hard. The whole social media, you have to be on the social media like every now and then. How did you become successful? I mean, going from just to let the people know that it's just not about social media, right?
No. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. When I started my business, it was 2008. It was the turning over of President Bush to President Barack Obama. Okay. And this country was in the worst economic recession that of our lifetime.
Yeah.
And so everyone that said, are you crazy? You're going to spend your money right now on opening up a business. This is insane. But I had a dream and I was moving forward. And so you're right. Social media was not as relevant back then as it is now.
Yeah.
So for your friend that had the issue with the vandalism, what I would recommend is that she uses her social media platforms to her already existing audience to help rebuild if insurance isn't covering it, perhaps do some type of campaign where, you know, her fans can help her out with some type of fund or a service trade. You know, I'll give you a service later on for helping me now. So the power of social media now is super important.
It's super important.
But back then, when it didn't exist as much, what I did is I just focused really hard on fulfilling my duty as a store owner and making sure that every customer that walked through the door was treated like a VIP, that they got excellent service, that they got excellent product. You know, I raised the standard on myself, and then that raised the bar for my employees also to keep my standards, because audiences, customers, they have so many choices nowadays.
Uh-huh.
And what keeps them coming back is one that they feel relevant, when they feel like, you know, I'm going to go to LA Suites because they always treat me like family when I walk through the door. I'm not a number like I am at a grocery store, you know? So that is key, making your customer the number one priority in your business.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you start right away, you know, did you start in your home or did you start right away on opening a small space or?
No. Yeah, actually, it was really like a blessing. I wanted to test the water. So I did start baking from home and selling cakes from home. And when I saw that I had a viable business and that there was an audience that wanted my goods, I said, you know, I can take this to the retail level. So I actually went to a local mall. And nowadays, I don't know how it's different, but 13 years ago, you had to pitch your idea to the mall manager so that they could rent you a space. They won't just let anyone in. They had to like your idea. They had to buy into your product and they had to really like kind of grasp what you were doing and to support you.
Yeah.
It's not like I'll just go to the mall and I want five spaces. Even if you have the money, you still have to go through the process to get validated. So I went to them and I pitched them the idea. I brought them my goodies and they tasted it. And for me, still to this day, that is how I get my foot in the door. Everybody that tastes our product, they feel a lot of pride in producing the most quality, delicious product available to the market using the best ingredients and so forth. And so that's key. I don't skimp on my ingredients like a lot of other bakeries do to make more profit, you know? So that was the process back then. And I went to the mall and I pitched it. You know, the lady said, you know what? You're in luck, because back then, okay, we're talking about in 2008.
Okay.
You know those little kiosks that are inside of the mall?
Yeah.
I went with the idea to just get a kiosk because it's all I could afford. The rent on a kiosk back then was $5,000.
Okay.
A month.
Okay.
So I went and I'm like, okay, I'd love a kiosk, but I was selling baked goods. So they were going to melt because it was an outdoor mall.
Yes.
So the lady said, you know, I have this space it's a little bit tucked away in the corner, but I can give it to you for half the price. Now, I was ecstatic at the moment. I was like, oh my gosh, I'll take it. I didn't realize that it was really tucked away in the corner. And so it was a challenge for people to find me. And I imagine now that that's why they were giving it away so cheap back then. But that's how I started. Yeah. And it was an incredible journey because I had to then figure out how can I market myself hidden away in this corner so that people do find me.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So with this whole business, when you decide to become a business owner, especially in the food industry, which is, you know, which is to be known to be, it's known to be so risky. Did you have any doubts about, you know, about it, that it'll work out? And, you know, what are the risks, you know, or what are the struggles that you had, you know, building this business?
Absolutely. You know what, as a business owner, when you first put yourself out there, you are going to be tempted to close your doors because it's not all sunshine and rainbows every day. Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of equity, like sweat equity, I call it. Mm-hmm. And there aren't, every day is not an easy day. There are more hard days than easy days. But if you stay true to the reason behind the why of why you're doing your business. And so for me, the reason was always my why was my children. I wanted to make them proud. I wanted them to see that even though I didn't have a college degree, I still made something of my life and I raised them. But in addition, I owned a business. I was a business owner. So that was pivotal in me pushing past those really hard times when you want to throw in the towel, when you want to give up.
Yeah, that's so good. I think I was just telling you yesterday, Letty, that you and I are the same. I also didn't have any college degree. I just did high school and that's it because my mother passed away when I was very young. And so I feel like for us, I think we just want to prove ourselves and show our kids that, hey, even if I didn't finish, you know, college, I can do this. I can be successful in our, you know, in our own little way, right? I mean, there's that challenge. There's that challenge that you want to prove something to yourself as well, you know? So that's really good. Okay, now speaking of family and speaking of kids, this is the hard thing, right? How do you balance being a career woman in a business owner and then balancing it with having, oh my gosh, Daddy, five kids. I only have three, but I'm already like freaking out. Five kids. And of course, our husbands who are so codependent, you know, they're so codependent on us, right? Like we have to serve them. And then if we have the business that, you know, it takes out 50% of how we serve them, right? I want you to share that with me. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, like I mentioned, it takes to you yesterday when we spoke in the pre-interview, it takes a great deal of teamwork and your family has to be on your team because they have to understand from the beginning that everyone's going to have to make a sacrifice. You know, I wasn't there for my children every step of the way. I missed some meetings at school. My husband had to cook dinners on certain nights. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a team effort. But for me, and this is one of the tips I'm going to share with your audience later, it was pivotal that before I started my business, that I brought them on board and that they understood before we got started that it would be a sacrifice on all of us, but that they saw how happy I was to be beginning my new journey as a business owner. And family loves your family loves you and they're going to want to do whatever it takes to make sure that you're happy. So, but it does take a village. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be you. And so it's super important to get your husband on board and your children on board before you get the ball rolling.
Wow, that's so good. How about the hubby? I mean, is he not complaining for sure?
No, the
happy space. No, I didn't like business. No, how did he ever like complain that, hey, you're not giving me enough attention?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to be transparent, in the beginning, it was a bit of a struggle on my marriage because I went from being a dedicated, you know, home mom that was cooking hot, warm meals and taking care of everyone to being, you know, half half of the time there, half of the time not there, bringing home dinner that was pre-cooked from a restaurant, not me, and so forth. So there was a little bit of, you know, I would not say argument, but I would say a little bit of resentment in the beginning.
Yes.
Husbands can become a little resentful, especially when they see that you're starting to succeed.
Because
I think a lot of husbands, they'll be like, yes, you go, honey. And then in the back of their mind, they're kind of hoping it doesn't
work. Oh, heck yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. And then, they will be like, yeah, I'll support you, whatever. And then if you don't give that time to them, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the beginning, you know, I did have some of those issues. But luckily for me, since I've been married for close to 30 years now, I think my husband and I are best friends first. And we have a great line of communication.
Yeah.
And that was the key to us getting over that hump and moving past that and then becoming like partners in business as well as in life.
Oh my God. Well, anyway, if anybody that's just tuned in on our show, remember that you're listening on the Polished Woman audio show now. And my guest is Letty Alvarez of LA Suites. Okay, I have an accent. And this is all about new beginning, new season, you know, moving forward and resetting your life. It's amazing. Now, Letty, how did you, this is, you know, marketing is very big, you know, in a business, how were you able, if all our listeners who are just starting, since there were no social media, how were you able to get into those shows that you got? I mean,
absolutely
amazing. You are in like so many shows.
Yeah, I've been on every network.
Network, whatever. That's a lot of shows. How did you get in there?
Absolutely. I'll tell you my secret. You're right. Back then, social media was not as relevant. However, Yelp has been around for a very long time.
Wow.
Yelp is an online review system where customers review companies. And so Facebook wasn't huge back then and Instagram didn't even exist, but Yelp was there. Yelp was there.
So what happened was
since I was giving my all to my customers, I was getting amazing reviews. Okay. And I took the extra step of answering every single review that would come my way, whether it was a positive one or a negative one. And I always answered even the negative ones with kindness and understanding, because we can always grow in our business to be better. You can't always have an A day, you know, your employee won't always be the best. There are missteps.
Yes.
So I never answered anyone in a bad way. It was always very much so like, I appreciate your feedback. I'm sorry that happened. I'm going to do better. I promise. Here you go. And you compensate them with something. And most of them were very grateful and gracious about you actually contenting them back, because most people don't. And so Yelp is what got me noticed by the producers of Cupcake Wars.
Wow.
They found my reviews on Yelp and they contacted me and they said, hey, we have a new show called Cupcake Wars on Food Network. And we'd love for you to come on and, you know, win $10,000. And I'm like, yes, I'm down.
Well, yeah, because you mentioned you were away from your family for like 2 months, right?
Yes, I was. Well, the Cupcake Wars, I've been on every network. So I've been on Food Network, TLC, Bravo, you know, you name it, I've been there. And so for the TLC show, which was with my friend Buddy Velastro, the cake boss. I don't know if you know him, the Italian.
Yeah.
I was on his show, The Next Great Baker, because for that show, I was one of 13 contestants that were pulled from 75,000 applicants to be one of those 13.
Wow.
And I was selected to be on that show. And that was an incredible like opportunity.
Yes.
I didn't win. I came out on fourth place on that one. But I just learned so much from Buddy. I learned so much from his bakery, because his bakery is a factory.
Yeah.
And it really changed the way I conducted my business. And I lived in New York for 2 months while that filmed. Because as you would get farther along in the competition, it would take you another week to film. So I was gone for 2 months. My husband had to handle at that time
everything,
three
yes.
stores, all the five kids, the five dogs. And, you know, it was a lot.
Wait, you have five dogs?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Lenny, I don't know how you did it. Oh, my gosh. Wait, when you did the show and you knew it was a competition, weren't you like worried that, you know, that if I didn't win, will this affect my business? You know, of
yes.
course everyone wants to win, but then, you know, because that's my whole thing about competitions. Okay, I want to be in that show. I did a show with my daughter as well. Making a Model of Yolanda did, but it's not like a it's a competition, but we didn't have like a, you know, like the first, second winner or whatever. Every week we had, you know, a winner, but with you, it's a business. For us, it's just, you know, it's for modeling and stuff. Weren't you like scared that, okay, it might, you know, it might affect my business later on if I didn't win? But I guess it's just, it's a gamble, right?
It is absolutely a gamble. And yeah. television is not for the faint of heart. There are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes and with special editing that can make you look a certain way. Yeah. And I did learn that the hard way on that show. However, since I had already been on Cupcake Wars, mm-hmm. and I did see the negative reaction I got to for certain things. For example, yeah. on that show, on Cupcake Wars, I produced a Patron Margarita cupcake, which was my store's number one bestseller.
Yeah.
But one of the judges hated it. And so she really like came down on it. So
what?
When people would come into my store without even sampling it, I would say, oh, this is the one on Cupcake Wars. This is the Patron Margarita. Oh, no, I don't want that one, because they would remember that she hated it. So I was like, wow, I have to be smarter on the next show because I can't risk, you know, alienating an audience. So what I did on the next show is that I made sure that I produced items that were desserts that were not in my store. It wasn't something I sold.
Oh, my gosh. One of my friends is already texting me, where can I watch the show? Is it LA Talk?
It's on Netflix.
Oh my God. Okay. It's on Netflix. Wow. This is amazing. And then so from there on, now other networks started inviting you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what it is too, is that I had that American dream story. You know, I'm a mom of five.
Yeah.
I started with nothing. And I think that played a lot into the fact that I kept getting called to do different shows. And I was also a very sassy Latina, you know, and I brought a lot of sassiness, and it made for good TV.
Oh my God, that's so good. See, it's just really, you have to work. I didn't know that about Yelp. I didn't know how important Yelp was.
Very.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay, so now looking back, is there anything that you wish you did differently? Because I remember when you told me about the franchise thing.
Yeah,
right?
You know, exactly. Well, back in the day when I was like pumping out thousands of cupcakes and I was doing so well, I had five stores at the time, and I couldn't open up any more stores on my own because I didn't have the bandwidth and the mental bandwidth to do so. So I said, you know what, I'm going to franchise and I'm going to become a franchisor, and I'll sell my business model to other people, and then they'll open up LA Suites all around the country. So I started doing that. And what I quickly realized after about 3 years of franchising, that I didn't like it, that it wasn't the right fit for me, that it wasn't what I expected. You know, everyone believes that when you become a franchisor, you've made it. And like, I felt like I had made it. Oh, I'm a franchisor now.
Because,
you know, there's only 4% of Latina women that actually are franchisors. So I was in that elite category and I was really feeling myself. However, I didn't realize that, you know, when you sell a franchise, if you don't pick the right partner, it could be detrimental to your brand. And that's exactly what happened to me. It was not a good fit.
You're all about, you know, you're all about loving your customer and giving them the best, and, you know, and then
absolutely.
Yeah.
So it was mortifying to me when I would see Yelp reviews on my franchises that weren't, you know, my franchisees that were horrible. And I was like, oh my gosh, they're, you know, that's not what we stand for. That is not why we started our company. So yeah. At the end of the 5-year lease with my one franchisee that owned the entire area, I decided to close that side of my business down and I stopped franchising from there. And I have no regrets. I learned a lot and I learned what not to do. And I learned what I was made of too, because it's very different to lead your own store than it is to lead a bunch of strangers that want to own what you do, but aren't passionate about it. So okay. It took, yeah.
So when you start a business, don't think right away, right, Letty, that, hey, okay, when this becomes successful, I want to franchise like right away. When do you think that they should franchise, start franchising?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I believe I was about 7 years in my own business before I started to franchise.
Okay.
And franchising is very expensive. It was about a $70,000 investment to become a legitimate franchisor.
Yeah.
So, because you need to have it regulated by the government, you need lawyers involved, you need contracts involved. So I spent a lot of money franchising my business. And, you know, I made what I invested in return. However, I ended up kind of like leveling out balance. But like I said, for me, it wasn't a great idea. It wasn't a great fit because I care about my brand. If you are strictly in business to make a profit and you're not like babysitting like your brand, like this is part of my family, I love this, I can't see this not working, then go, more power to you. Go ahead and franchise away. Because what you're going to find is that a lot of people have a lot of money and they're interested in buying a location, but their heart is not in it to run it.
Yeah. Wow. That's a good one. That's a good. Okay. Now, last one. It's just so fast. We're already like done. Okay. I want you to give our listeners right now, and our viewers right now who are watching us, what are the three, you know, advice that you can give them? One is when you're starting, you know, you're just starting a business. Second is while you're in the business, and like for people who are now experiencing this hardship, who, you know, you were just closed for like 3 months and then all of a sudden someone came in and like took all your stuff, and then moving forward, like three advices from you.
Yeah,
you're like an expert.
Yeah. Well, I have three tips. One is a business tip. One is a family tip for your business. And the other one is a practical tip to implement in your business.
Yeah.
So the first tip is a business tip. And that is to figure out what your calling is and build a business around that.
Yes.
Because if you're going to be spending the majority of your time in your business, you better make sure it's something you love doing. Because I loved baking. I loved the art of making cake and cupcakes. So for me, going to work every day and working 80 hours a day during the week, I mean, during the beginning years, it wasn't a task because I loved doing it. That's my tip number one, is figure out what your calling is and try to build a business around that.
Okay.
Tip number two would be my family tip, which is the one I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Which is to form a family council. Like I had they were my board members.
I like that.
Yeah. And I had a meeting with them prior to starting, and I had my own little business plan, and I explained to them what I was going to be doing. And I made sure to get their approval before I went forward. And got my lease and so forth, because it's important for them to understand what it's going to entail and how they all have to be, they have to sacrifice a little and be supportive at the same time. So that was tip number two, is to get your family involved.
I love that.
Before you get started, because it also makes them feel like they're a part of
something. Yes.
My kids my goodness. In the beginning, I had little uniforms made for them, and my kids would wear their uniforms with such pride. And they're like, we're LA Sweets. We're family LA Sweets.
Oh, that's so cute.
It was so adorable. And they had a lot of pride. They were very proud of their mama.
Okay.
And then tip number three, I would say, is a practical tip. And that is to just take action, move forward. Once you make a decision on what you want to do, once you talk to your family and get their go ahead and support, don't wait for things to be perfect. they're not going to be perfect.
Wow.
The time will never be perfect. You will never have enough money in your bank account for it to be perfect. You know, just take action. Make sure that you are doing something and having momentum moving forward in building your business. It could be something as small as, you know what, I know my business is going to be called Jane's Beauty Salon. So yeah. I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to take Jane's Beauty Salon. And I'm going to go on Instagram and I'm going to take Jane's Beauty Salon. Like, it could be something as simple as that, or it could be as simple as starting your LLC.
Yeah.
You know, just do some actionable item that will start getting the ball rolling.
Wow, that's so good, Letty. That's so good. I love this. I think, you know, my friends are actually like texting me right now. So I'm like looking at, I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. I think I'm going to tell our listeners as well that next time I'm going to have a guest on the show wherein they can, for people who've lost a lot of income from their businesses, I will guest someone on the show that will help you financially, you know, to be able to loan something, or she'll explain to us, but it'll be a good show as well, because nowadays, oh my gosh, people are just, you know, having a hard time.
Yeah, no, it's...
Did you also close for like 3 months, or they can still, you know,
we closed according to the guidelines of our city,
yeah,
and then we reopened. And I wanted to let you know and your audience know that mm-hmm. those three tips, I actually have 10 tips. And if they go to my website, lettyalvarez.com, I'll be more than happy to send them the notes on the 7 additional tips that can help them get started.
That's so good. Can you please tell them where they can find you, your social media, everything, your store, how they can order? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's lettyalvarez.com. And that's where on the website they can find all my information about me. So it's Letty Alvarez. And that's LettyAlvarez.com. And my company name is LA Suites, and they can order from us all over Miami and Broward County. Mm-hmm. So it was my pleasure to be here, and I can't thank you enough. And, you know, I know that this whole episode was about a new season in your life.
Yes.
And I know that you and I had talked a little bit about how I was also starting a new season, because, you know, my business now practically runs itself. I have systems and processes in place.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not really necessary anymore. I don't show up every day.
Yeah.
So now my calling is to help other women find a way to build their business, but still keep their marriage and their family balanced, because that's hard. That's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. Max, are you here? Yeah. I talked to Letty yesterday about having a career, because my pastor, you know, we have Bible study, and she was like, Jessica, now you have your career. You know, what is the difference between career and calling? And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's right. So so good. I feel like with what you're doing, that having the career and then doing your calling, it's so, you feel light and you feel so peaceful. And so, you know, right? It's so good. Yeah. You just feel
it's
good.
It's not hard work. It feels good. No hard work.
Yeah, it feels good to inspire people and women, especially women. This is us, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, we are the mom of all women, right, Letty?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much, Letty. And remember, if you missed our show, this is such a very, very inspiring and helpful episode. If you missed our show, you can go to our The Polished Woman Facebook and The Polished Woman on our story link. The link is in my bio, The Polished Woman Instagram. And also it will be in a few minutes. It will be on all the podcast station, iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitchers, Spotify, and I forgot the other one, but all podcast station, it's going to be there.
We're global, baby.
Yeah, we're going global. So every Monday, tune in. It's on Channel 1 on LA Talk Radio. So yeah, next week, we will have a Father's Day episode next week. Yeah, and since we're talking about Polished Woman, just give me a few minutes to talk about the Polished Woman. And Letty is one of those Polished Women. Okay, so I just want to share that the previous for the past few years, I created the Polish Woman, and I was like, you know what, Letty, I want to share this with you and to all our viewers. What is the meaning of Polish Woman? Like every now and then, I was like, huh, the Polish Woman is a confident woman. I always like, I just, for some reason, I couldn't find the meaning of it. I just know she's confident. She has the tools for, you know, to do everything. And, you know, I, for the past 3 months, this whole quarantine thing, I think brought out the meaning of it. And I asked Max about this. I said, Max, did you notice why my Polish Woman is a past tense? It's with ED. It's polished yes. woman. It's because I have to go through all the hardships and the, you know, trials, afflictions in life. It's like a new version of yourself. You know, she's the one that recognizes her value, and not in spite of adversities that she's faced or maybe facing, but because she has came through them and is making a way through them. She understands her her worth and the worth of those around her. So in short, I'll explain it. It's like a gold or a crystal that has been, you know, in the dust, in the ground for like a long time. And if you get a gold and a crystal, you polish yeah. them. You polish yes. them until they're like, you know, until they're like crystal beautiful. Clear. So it's like taking away the impurities and bad stuff about you, the pride, the ego, the whatever, you know, the anger, the unforgiveness, you know, and then putting in and while, you know, while erasing all of those, then the love comes out, the kindness, the gentleness, the humility, it's all out. That is the polished woman. You know, the polished woman is a polished, beautiful vessel. It's a precious cargo, right?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful explanation.
That is a polished woman. All right. Now, you are a polished woman, Letty. Oh. You are now, you have a career and you're doing your calling, and that is amazing. And I'm so, so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you yeah. so much, Jessica.
All right. We are now done. Okay. Tip for the day. Finding yourself is in a difficult situation doesn't mean that you need to stay in a difficult situation. It's natural to be upset, to feel discouraged or unsure about what you're going to do next, but it's always possible to move forward if you're willing to work to reset your life. And what you find is a new face may be sweeter than what you're leaving behind. So that is our tip for the day. Thank you so much, Letty, for being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks, Max. I know you're there.
Love you.
I love you. And remember, we see you, we hear you, and we love you. Give love to the next person that you see after listening and to our show. Bye.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.